How's everybody doing?
Good.
Oh, doing great.
Good.
Good, thanks.
Good, good. I know we have, can't remember how many told me are on, but a bunch of people are going to keep chiming in. So let's
Monty.
Go with, hey, Mont. Let's go with steps 3, 4, and 5. Kick this thing off. People can chime in as they show up.
Hey, Olivia's here.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey.
You want to kick us off?
I wanted to give you an update on the realtor thing. So I did a bunch
of
calls over the weekend, and I found some great team members. I found another wholesaler that was really ethical and helpful, and I found a realtor that puts his fee on top. He'll run the open houses. He'll put out a flyer to his investment consortium.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping to got the two contracts back, and I sent them over to this realtor, and he's going to get them out this week. And I'm hoping to get those properties moved by Friday.
Yeah, are you taking these to that one agent that has the buyer looking for 20 deals, or are you taking these to a buyer's list as well?
A buyer's list as well. And this guy,
okay. This
guy doesn't – I won't work with that other agent because that wasn't the norm. He wouldn't put his fee on top, 20% of
right.
So that didn't feel good.
Yeah, yeah. Trying
all.
To answer your email question was it just gets set up different ways, and I think that's what you're seeing. Depends on which agent you talk to on how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I feel good, and I'm ready to get these done.
So you have two under contract, right?
Yeah, I got
and
two back, and I have two I'm waiting on. Yeah.
Two under, and who have you gotten them out to so far? Have you started building a buyer's list, right, on your own?
Yeah, I have them out. Yeah, I've got my own buyer's list from FreedomSoft, and I've been calling some Craigslist cash buyers.
Okay, you can also go to step 5 in there, go through that 7 different ways, but go section8.com.
Yes,
call
that's
the.
What I really Okay.
Call the rentals section in Craigslist as well. People who have a house for rent. You can actually, if you don't want to call, you can shoot them a text real quick. It says, hey, I saw your ad on Craigslist. Are you still buying in the area?
Okay.
They'll tell you yes or no because you can blow through. I mean, you can just copy-paste if you want to do that.
Okay, great.
You know, property managers, hard money lenders. And then you've got an agent. What if the agent finds the buyer, what do they want out of the deal?
They just add their fee on top.
Perfect, on top of your price.
And he said your prices are excellent. I can't believe
love
how
it.
Good they are. You know the ARVs on these houses? These are going to move quick, is what he said.
I love it. Cool.
And with his, he puts $2,000 on top. And he thought it was still excellent. So.
Yep, good, good, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Two under and two more that are close. When you say close, when do you expect signed paperwork back?
I expect to sign paperwork back midweek. One and I did a follow-up call just to check.
Yep.
And then I got one next week too. So.
Love it.
And I've still got a lot of calls to make.
Yeah,
and
you've got a couple hot ones on the line. So talk to anybody and everybody.
And then
this
I just wanted to let you know that the three of the buyers are callbacks. I had no idea what I was doing, who would answer, but the three of them are callbacks because they were at work.
So you left a message.
Yep.
On the number, and what did your message say? Because I know somebody on here is wondering.
I'm Olivia. I'm a real estate agent. I found your real estate investor. Found your information, public records. I'm interested in your property. If you'll give me a quick call.
Bam.
Yep.
Done.
Yep.
That's awesome. So three of the four are callbacks. Is that what you said?
Yes. So
nice.
I wanted. Impart that to everybody that it seems like you're not doing anything, but a week later I was getting calls, and next day I was getting calls.
Yep. And you'll get more calls. The more you know, this is how momentum and filling a pipeline works. The more you stay on top of it, the more those calls start to come back. So that's awesome.
So thanks
way
for all
to
your
go,
help.
Olivia.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, way to just say, yes, this is what you're telling me to do. I'm going to go do that. It's awesome.
Yep. It works.
It totally does. Great job. Great update. Cool. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Mike, this is Josh.
Olivia's a tough act to follow, Josh, but good luck. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I had a question, really, man.
Yep.
We had a couple of wholesalers. We sent out an email today and had a couple of wholesalers contact us. You know, they got about, between the both of them, they got about 14 flips.
Yep.
And what is, you know, commonly we've, you know, always.
So wait, let me back. They're wholesalers, but they've done 14 flips?
No, they got about 14 in their inventory right now. And want to co-wholesale on some deals.
Gotcha.
And
they
want
to co-wholesale yours?
Their flips, and we'll bring them the buyer.
You want to market their deals.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, normally I was thinking we just would split the wholesale fee, but I mean, I guess it's done different for everybody. What is the standard for that, or what would you say, you know, if it, you know, what have you done, you know, or any of the guys on the call?
Yeah. Rob is, he's done a couple co-wholesales in the past. It gets another hand in the mix, obviously. And in order to not be brokering, you've got to be in chain of title, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the challenge comes in. Can you guys set up a quick little joint company of some kind? Do you feel like you're going to work together with this group moving forward?
I mean, you know, if we can do a couple deals together, I mean,
yeah,
I feel like we could. This is the first time I talked to the guys, you know.
Yeah.
So they have 14
deals they're trying to move.
Two different wholesalers. One of them's a group of guys that got 11, and the other guy has 3. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, double assigning, that kind of thing. Again, this can go state to state, too. The triple close, mm-hmm. you probably don't want to get involved in some of these avenues. So, Rob is primarily – I'm trying to think, even if I've been here, if we've ever co-wholesaled a deal. I'm sure it happened, but it's less than 3 times.
All right.
Since I've been here.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that fairly regularly, and I do a JV agreement per property with the split on it.
One per deal?
Yes, sir.
And then how do you get in Alabama? How do you get in chain of title?
I don't necessarily go into chain of title. Like the one I closed today, I was on the title on it, but my partner, he was on the HUD with his tape. So, and the closing agent took the JV agreement and just honored that agreement. It has that.
He wasn't. He's not licensed though, right?
No, it's not.
You
licensed.
Just paid him on the HUD as a what? What kind of fee?
It's a joint venture agreement that's in the paperwork with the transaction that we are partnering on this deal together.
Right. Josh, get a hold of your title company down there and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. What's the best way to throw this paperwork together since that's what they do?
Right.
Lean on the experts on that one.
Okay.
I'd actually like to get Rob's take, but it can move a little bit different state to state. Best bet, get with the locals down there, title reps, they put it all together. Do you close with attorneys where you guys are or title companies?
We close with a title company.
Okay. Yeah, same here in Colorado. Yeah, get a title company on the phone. Say, here's what I'm trying to do. Could you just make sure you get it right, obviously. We've always been in chain and title. Like an assignment and a double closing can accomplish some of that. But again, it can move a little bit differently state by state. So see what the locals do. We just try and blend in wherever we go.
What's John do? Does he split the assignment, or does he just put an assignment on top of the initial one that they, like, I mean, how does that, I mean, I know what these guys were saying.
Yep.
I've done it both ways, but today was a double close. So.
Okay.
And then you had a JV agreement, and you just sent that over to the title company between you and your business partner.
Correct.
And so you got your check, but he got paid as a line item on the HUD.
Yeah, well,
basically.
Actually, no, he did get paid on the line item on the HUD.
Who?
He did not. No, it wasn't on the HUD. Not on the double close, it wasn't.
So the title company just cut a portion of your proceeds to him.
Right.
Based on your JV agreement.
Right, right, correct, correct.
Okay. I'm going to get, Josh, I'm going to get, I'm going to ask Rob this one and see how he's done in the past. But get, you know, definitely get with the locals on the ground.
Okay.
And see how they would recommend you put that together. So, and then I'll see if Rob wants to speak into this. Obviously, we're not, you know, we're not attorneys around here, and we're talking about contracts and paperwork. So we just walk, you know, we just have to disclose, right? Disclaimers.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, cool. What else is happening with the leads? Or was that your only question?
Yeah, that was it. I still got the girl making calls. You guys, I got a question for you. Do you guys use scorecards at for each department that you have there?
Scorecard, what do you mean?
You know, like give someone like
a little tracking sheet to
make so many calls and, you know, so many talk to so many sellers that day, or
Rob has the VAs at the end of the day. They shoot him a quick report. I'm pretty sure they use Skype for it. If they're out of the country, they just shoot him a quick Skype message. Here's what went on today. So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got it. Right, yeah, always good to be tracking how many calls made, how many people received. Right, those are valuable stats.
Yeah,
for sure. Because it'll tell you how good your skip trace info is, how many numbers are legit, how many phone calls they had, and then how many appointments you're having set. Yep.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Good stuff. Anything else, Josh?
Nah, that's it.
Okay. Who else? Steps 3, 4. John, you want to go since you were chimed in already?
Oh, I chimed in, yeah. Yeah, we had, so that one closed today, thank goodness. So that's two down. And
you had one Friday and one today?
Yes.
That was a good Friday, huh?
It was a good Friday from a good father. So
that should have gotten quite a bit more reaction than it did, but whatever. Go ahead.
It was a great Friday. Okay, how about that?
So nice. One Friday and one today.
Yeah, and then I got how long have I been doing it?
What's that?
Yeah, how long have you been at it? You know, from the first day till you got your first deal done.
Oh, that's a man, that happened a long time ago. So it took
how
me.
Long you, how long have you been an investor, John?
I've been wholesaling actively for 4 to 5 years. And prior to that, it took me a long time. It took me a long time before I ever did my first deal because I was too scared to do anything. So that's another story.
John's a recovered franchisee.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I've got a couple other small JV deals that will close by the end of the week. I think they're about 2,200 together. So, you know,
and those
just
are both
going
this week?
Yeah, just for going and taking some pictures and telling them what I thought. So.
And then what else? So. What else do you have queued up after this week?
Okay, I've got queued up the vacant the story that I told you about last week.
Yep.
And I had my buyer come and commit, and then when he committed to his price, I found out that he did not realize that it wasn't a floodplain.
Okay.
But he'll still buy it, but it reduced his price drastically. So I had to renegotiate with the seller and got the biggest discount I could get off of that was $1,500. So, but the buyer, I just got off the phone with him before I called, and he's agreed to go ahead and let me assign that contract to him, the amended contract, and it'll be $3,500 payday. So.
Nice. And then what's the resolution date with the city, hopefully? May 1?
May 11. May 11.
May 11. Okay. So a little under a month at this point.
Right. And this seller has another house that he told me about when I called him to negotiate that he wants to sell.
Yep.
And it is, it's got a roof and HVAC that are less than 3 years old, new PEX plumbing, because it was vandalized.
Nice.
And he's done some work inside. So,
what does he want
my
for
favorite,
it?
He won't tell me yet.
Okay.
So, But I've got a buyer that my favorite buyer is going to get first look on this one too. So sounds like I've got another deal in the making on this one, off from this one vacant lead. So
yeah, this week while you're waiting on these other two closings, assuming that they're set up and ready to go, foot back on the gas.
Get back on my vacant list. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, I started calling some of those today, and I hadn't had much luck, but I got back with that today before I went to my closing. So.
Yep. That's it. You gotta carve out time for that.
I can't let up. Yes, sir. You're correct.
Nope.
So.
Yeah, that's how you avoid the high low. Is you gotta find time to find new deals, make more offers, that kind of
right.
thing.
Keep
the momentum going. So, yep. Nice, man.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Anything else, quick? You've got a couple more things up and some more working.
Yeah, I had a lady call off of my website today, and she is actually a trash out contractor.
Okay.
And she was looking for a place to move on rent to own in the area that, well, she actually lives in my neighborhood, but she's a potential connection for she has first dibs on REOs and stuff like that. I mean, I know that's not really the road I want to go down, but who knows? I mean, it's a potential connection. She says she has a vacant list.
You can't have too many connections. That's the bottom
line. Yeah.
Yep.
But she knows a lot of people, and she's got a vacant list of houses in our county, and she doesn't know what to do with it. And I said, well, I can tell you exactly what to do with it. So.
Give it to you.
Yeah, but she's been a trash out contractor for about 7 or 8 years, and sounds like she knows what she's doing in that regard. She just doesn't know how to make money wholesaling. So, she may be my next JV partner.
Absolutely, yeah, she's got the line on.
So that's
she's first on scene, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
That's it, man.
Cool. I love hearing the side connections that happen.
And my other guy that had the 50 properties.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't buy my line too much because he won't answer me now. When I was following up trying to get the list of properties, and I have not heard back from him yet. So.
Yeah, that's worth a little drip text follow up.
Oh, absolutely.
Every week or 10 days or so, for sure.
I'm gonna drift him on out.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, man. That's about
it, John.
I think.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
Who else? 3, 4, and 5.
This is Naif.
Hey, Naif.
Hey. I don't know. Actually, I probably have the worst news compared to everybody else. So we got everything skip traced, and we actually have somebody to, verify the numbers to make sure they're, I'm not spending hours and hours calling disconnected numbers. And then today and yesterday, everything combined is, I spent almost over 4 hours calling people, and I got a hold of one seller, one heir, who gave me the email of a seller. And other than that, every number I called either goes to voicemail or it's a wrong number, meaning that the person I'm reaching is not the right person. And that's basically what I'm dealing with. So it's been extremely frustrating that even after all the steps we put in, and all the work in getting the skip tracers. And one of the reasons we couldn't get a hold of any skip tracers, because there was an earthquake in the Philippines, which doesn't even show up on Google when you Google it. So unless you actually specifically do the Google Philippine earthquake. Anyway, so we got the skip tracers. We got a bunch of people working on it. We followed all the steps. We go through the county. We go through, PeopleSmart and Telius. And, one of my partners make sure that they do it correctly. We randomly check them, and then we do the best we can. And then when I'm calling, this is what I'm facing. So, I am quite discouraged because it feels like I've been at it for a while, and we can't figure out how to even get a hold of a seller.
How many of the numbers that you called, because you're even having them screened, how are they screening them again? Are they calling them first?
Yeah, they just call them and see if the number rings or not. If the number goes like, it tells them it's disconnected, then, we highlight them red, meaning I don't call them, but at least I know that somebody called that number. And then the ones that
they,
does
what
rent.
What do they do if somebody answers?
They just hang up.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. They just hang up. Or if it goes to voicemail, they hang up, and those numbers are green. So I'm calling back, and again, 80% of the numbers goes to voicemail almost today and yesterday.
Right. What time
so,
what time were you making calls today?
From 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Are you leaving messages?
Well, no, because when I contact an air, I don't even know if I'm reaching the right person. So it's hard to leave a message. I did that the last week where I had a couple of numbers. I left them a message. No one called back. Or even if somebody did, it's very difficult for me to track who actually called back because the messenger is something like, yeah, call me back. This is my number. I don't know why they're calling or anything.
Right.
I had a couple of calls like that. So I don't even know because we have three, four avenues trying to get sellers. So I don't know what kind of voicemail to really leave because I, you know, I'm trying to reach person X for property Y. Can you call me back? It's hard to do that. So
well, it's a pretty simple script. If either you think it's the homeowner, you heard Olivia's message. Hey, my name is Olivia. I'm a real estate investor. Just calling about your property. I found you in the public records. Here's my number. If it's an heir, you just say, you know, hey, it's Olivia. I'm calling. Well. You know, obviously fill this in, but hey, this is Mike. I'm trying to, you know, I'm a real estate investor. I'm trying to get a hold of so and so about a property they own. You know, can you give me a call back or shoot me a text with the best number to reach him at? I'd sure appreciate it.
Right.
Something like that. Yep. And then you can also switch up the time of day that you're calling, right? So this is any phone gig, right? You know, call the numbers again, especially if you didn't leave a message. You're going to go through them again, call them at a different time of day. So when you're keeping notes going through these, you know, whether it's left message, no answer, and you've got to have an update on that, what time of day you were calling. Were you calling midday today?
Yeah, from like 2 to – yeah, yeah, exactly.
And
from 2 o'clock on.
You're Eastern time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so there – I mean, people are going to answer, so don't quit working them. I mean, this is the hustle piece, and I get it. It's a little bit frustrating. You know, some people, they jump on the phone, you know, their very first call. Other people's, you know, other people are having a, you know, getting frustrated a little bit with the hiring bird dog. And, you know, just this is the part of it. You know, stay at it. People are going to answer the phone eventually, but you've got to keep notes on what time you're calling. So keep pounding it. And it sounds like you have a decent process for – getting some pretty quality numbers. I mean, you're going through your own sources, and they're the same sources as Rob. So you've got to have good numbers in your data. About how many leads do you have skip traced at this point that you have?
Well, right now today I worked on 28 records, and by the end of today, our skip tracer should be done with all 300.
Nice. Okay.
But the thing is that, you know, the frustrating part is that it is very difficult for me to, you know, spend 3-4 hours every day calling numbers and going to voicemails one after another.
Yep.
And so, you know, to me, it's like, holy crap, how am I going to even finish 300 leads in that at this rate? And if I'm, you know, spending 3-4 days talking to voicemails.
Right. Well, eventually somebody's going to pick up, and then you guys are going to have somebody on the phone like Josh and Quinn do, and a few others on here that are going to be making those calls for you and just bringing you the ones they get a hold of.
Right.
But this is a numbers game. You've got them there, and here's how it works. I mean, it's not like you make 10 calls, somebody picks up, and you make an offer, right? Sometimes you make, you know, 50, and then the next three hit, right? It's just it's not, you know, when you flip a coin, it doesn't go heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails. Things come in waves. So stay on it because we know it's going to pay off. It sounds like you have good processes in place. I get it. Push through a little bit of frustration here and it pays off. Always.
All right.
Persistence always. Yep. Yeah, I mean, you're hearing it on here. So, I mean, it's not like you're doing something different out of the ordinary. Persistence wins. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any suggestions for a software or a calling app or something that kind of just like really lines up the numbers one after the other quickly so that Knife here doesn't have to dial one by one and go crazy.
I would have to.
Stuff, but do you have anything to recommend?
I would have to ask Rob, which I know he's used a couple dialers in the past. We actually have plans to build a dialer in FreedomSoft. We haven't yet, but where you could upload a list and just have it click through. Our back-end phone system has the capabilities to do it. So at some point that should be coming. Let me ask him if he has a recommendation, because I know he's tried multiple. So
yeah, that would be great. Or maybe somebody else on the call has a recommendation. I don't know.
Yeah, anybody using a dialer? Yeah.
Mike, this is Josh. We use CallFire. We really like it. And especially with the having someone else make the calls, I can get on there. I can check and see when she's calling, when the people are answers. It charts it all in a chart, and it records all the calls. I mean, gives you an option to record them. Obviously you want to, so that you can download them right to your computer and listen, or you can even dial in while she's on a call and listen.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a full-on sales tool right there. When you can and listen.
I have a quick question for Josh. Josh, you there?
Yeah.
So when your person's making calls, are they making calls like, 8 hours a day, or you have time slots for them, or how do you arrange that? And how much do you pay them?
Right now, we're testing it out right now. I mean, I'm just paying $9 an hour to make calls, and I'm trying to get, right today I had her do from 10 to 2, which she's calling another time zone, so it'll be 9 to 1 there. And then from 5 to 8 this afternoon. So I'm just paying her $9 an hour. She's a stay-at-home mom, and so she's doing it at home.
And how many numbers can she get through?
Last week I paid her for 19 hours. She made 653 calls on CallFire. She had 171 live answers and set 7 appointments for me. And so I sent out one contract on that, I got two other term deals that I'm trying to negotiate with guys right now just from that. And those were older leads.
And when she calls up the heirs, this CallFire software, it'll tell them, this is the heir for this person and this is the property, I'm assuming, so that she knows what the heck is going on?
According to how you load it into CallFire. So if it comes off a spreadsheet, it'll load into there, and it'll say, John Smith, brother of Derek or something, and she'll know. But I was training her off of old direct mail campaigns, and I put her on the vacant today.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Awesome. So 650 calls. Wow. 19 hours.
Yeah. Well,
that's incredible.
And then also, when you're doing it, I started off where it would only call two numbers at a time. Once she got the hang of it, I'd up it to 3, and then some of them I even let it call as many as 4 at one time. That way it's just ringing, the first one to answer, boom, that's when it gets.
Yeah. I got you. Awesome.
Yeah, obviously the power of a dialer right there. And if you're not familiar on here, a dialer service, everybody can call multiple numbers at once, and the first one that answers connects, and the other 3, it disconnects right away. So it improves your chances.
Mike, one thing, too, is Quinn. It also scrubs your list for the phone numbers. So if you've got bad numbers, disconnected numbers, stuff like that, it scrubs it so you don't have to, you're not making dead phone calls. So.
Right. Yeah, so CallFire, now that you guys bring it up, that's a company that I've heard thrown around in the investor community fairly frequently. So,
and how much is it per month for the subscription?
I just load. I just pay $50 at a time for credits, and she calls for hours and hours and hours on that. I haven't actually tracked it down
to
the penny.
It's 5 cents a minute.
Is that what it is?
5 cents a text. Yeah. Anything under, you can buy more credits and get cheaper or whatever, but you don't need any more than that right now.
So you can upload whatever you want, and then it charges you by the minute of conversation? Is that how it works?
Yep.
Okay.
You buy so many credits, and then it charges by the minute.
Be careful, too, when you set how many it's dialing. I know TCPA has regs on that, on your pickup percentage. I don't know. I've never read the full TCPA thing, but don't start dialing 10 at a time and hanging up on a bunch of people because it tracks that stat. But yeah, two to four is what I've heard.
Yeah, that's
the way to go. Kind of three is the sweet spot. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Cool.
Hey, Mike, I got a question. This is Judah.
Hey, Judah.
How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. So, hey, I'm sticking to the script. I know that was your encouragement from last time, and got a long list of leads, and I'm having them skip traced. And so of the list, I've got about 125 right now. I'm just waiting for the virtual assistant to email the spreadsheet back. And that's kind of where I'm at on that leg of the process. And then I just met with a seller.
How many
today.
Vacants do you have? 100 and a quarter, 125?
Yeah, they're not all vacant. But okay. they're all leads. So kind of farming a zip code area for homes that we can make offers on.
Cool. So you've got them off to be skip traced?
Yep, exactly. I've already gotten some of them back, but I kind of want a good batch, and then I'm just going to send out some emails and kind of gauge the response rate. And then I've also got the phone numbers as well. So Skip Tracer is getting that back to me, or the VA is getting that back to me now from the Skip Tracing service. And just met with the seller for about an hour and checked out a property and dissuaded her from signing with a realtor so that we can make a direct offer. So I'm pretty stoked on that.
Is
the wheels are in motion.
Is that the vacants, or is that, is that another flip for you guys there?
This one, a couple different exit strategies. So the mortgage is about $3,000 a month. It's cash flowing about $4,500. And they want a little bit less than fair market value, but not enough for it to be a straightforward flip unless we basically double closed, like got it, cleaned it up, and then remarketed it, which we could do with hard money. So a couple different possibilities with this one, but we just wanted to make sure that we cut the agent out before he got her to sign. So that was our main agenda, and it looks like we can meet up maybe again in a week and actually get something in contract so that we can have an exclusive, you know, half on it. Maybe she'd be willing to carry for a year if we put enough down. So there's a couple different possibilities there.
Okay.
But my question is, last time I asked about the RMLO and kind of an office hours question, not related to wholesaling directly. But on that office hour question about the RMLO, did you find out from Rob what one he prefers and, like, what it costs?
No. He was out of town all last week, so
brutal.
Just got back in the office today. He was down launching a new market, so.
Okay.
I've got a couple of notes here on things to ask him, so he's back in this week.
Cool.
And so I'll find out for you. But I know I think you guys remembered from the – I think Lindsay had notes, $750 a file. And he's going with local. So I remember saying that, and I know for the most part he is not using a nationwide service to qualify people.
Okay. And is there any specific thing he always insists on when he's, like, kind of screening for a local agency that can do that?
Good question. Not sure. let me see if I can get some feedback on it. Well, I don't want to answer for him on that one.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
I know he set up a couple,
yeah.
So.
Cool. Yep.
RMLO process.
Yeah, and it's what he looks for in a good, you know, a good party to work with. Because we want to establish a relationship, obviously, and be able to use this RMLO, like, again in the future, right?
Yeah, I know, you know, one of the qualifications is, you know, you want somebody that's obviously busy because that's a great place to not only get done what you need, but it can become a great lead source when they qualify people that don't quite fit.
Oh, there you go. That's smart.
So,
I hadn't thought of that.
Don't just think of it as one channel. So somebody that's plugged in, you even get somebody in a bigger office that can sort of get the word out, you know, at the local the coffee machine inside the office. Hey,
yeah.
I've got somebody that handles, you know, the people that we try and qualify and don't fit. So, you know, medium to larger sized outfit. So, it's a great lead when you start going down the owner finance trail.
Yeah,
I mean, you want to know as many loan officers as possible because it's a source of buyers. So, I've got a little note to ask him on his RMLO process, see if he has any details.
Okay. Well, yep, thank you so much.
Cool. All right, who else? Steps 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, Mike, this is Vin again. Just had a quick question still on skid tracing.
Uh-huh.
Just curious, while we're getting all the information we can on potential sellers, lots of times emails we can find as well. Is that something we should, you would recommend we actually collect and then reach out through that way as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is every way possible. Whatever information you can find, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've just noticed that emails are there, but we haven't been doing anything with emails.
Yeah, to have a little stock pre-written thing that says, hey, I just called, you didn't pick up, or I just left you a voicemail. You know, this is Mike calling. Just wanted to reach out real quick about your vacant property. Give me a ring. Absolutely. Yeah, when it comes to, I mean, if it's above board, it's on the table as far as reaching out to people. I mean, the name of the game is conversation. So, like I said, as long as it's legal, anything and everything you can do and think of.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
And, Mike, this is Naif again. For the terms deals, like, because you're, if we get a house under terms and the seller agrees, then what do you call it? When you want to get a person in that property, obviously they don't have great credit. Otherwise, you know, they would have gotten a normal loan. If for those kind of people, is there a price range you should be looking at to do terms with? Because clearly these people are not going to buy a $1 million home, you know, with a 5% down payment or something. So is there a price range you look at? Because the reason I'm asking is this, I have this property, this guy, I spoke to him over the weekend and he was like, you know, he had it listed for I think almost a year and he can't get it sold. He reduced the price by almost $100,000. Originally he wanted for $400,000, now he's down to $300,000 and now he's looking to rent it. So I'm like, listen, you've been, you know, wanting to sell this for over a year. Clearly that didn't work out to the point where now you're looking to rent it. So I'm like, you know, what if I can, you know, work out a terms deal? And he's like, he was quite happy. And he's like, yeah, if you could do that, that'd be great. But the home is like around 300 or 250. So
right.
Is that something, you know, I should pursue or is that too expensive?
Here's, no, it's not too expensive. There are terms deals on $1 million houses.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you have somebody with a great job who filed bankruptcy anyway. And they're making 20, 30, 40, you know, 50,000 a month, and they don't want to, you know, they're not going to want to move into an apartment kind of townhome. So you can play that game at any level. I would like to see your focus on vacants first,
okay. And
let's get deals moving. Just because you're going to have to go a whole separate route, whole separate buyers. It's just a different game. So keep it. We want to add that piece in, just not yet.
Okay.
So stay the course. And I know it's hard. It's hard not to, honestly. We have this conversation with almost everybody. Hey, I found this, but what about this? But hey, this came up, and I saw this online, and you know, stay the course. Well, there's a time and a place to add a lot of things in, right? Rob works deals from a lot of different lead sources now, but the foundation is in place. So let's get that built, get deals moving, and then it becomes easier to add in some other stuff. So,
okay, gotcha.
Yep, stay on the vacants. Good question. All right. Who else has an update? Check in, question.
Tom here.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. So, I talked to a title company in Pittsburgh, and it was fairly discouraging. She's a lawyer. She's like saying that they don't even want to do assignments there. The city.
Where'd you find the title company?
Where did I find it? I found it in Pittsburgh from another investor. He gave me the. He said it was an investor friendly title company.
Yeah, just find another one.
What about? And they were also saying that I don't even know what you call it. You use the same the buyer's money to close the deal for both deals instead.
It's just two closings. Yep. Whether the end buyer's money can pass through or not. Yep.
Right.
Is that just a double closing?
That pass through? I mean, just call it a double closing?
Yeah, they used to call them wet and dry funding, where, you know, wet funding, the buyer's money moves through, I always thought of it like a river where the money flows through. Dry funding.
I recently heard it called a reverse closing.
Yeah, the terminology changes.
Okay.
Cross country. So.
Well, they were saying that you know, that's considered fraud and they don't do it. So.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to another.
Yeah, just call another one. I mean, if I call one of the title companies in Denver, typically the bigger ones, they'll tell me the same thing.
Oh, okay.
And then we still have title companies in Denver who will do the funding and pass the buyer's money through, where other companies will say that's illegal. So all of them have board of directors. They're all under the same regs. It's just the way it works. Some will do it, some won't.
Okay. Well, what about the assignment thing? I need to find out about that, too.
Yeah, just
because they're saying that
I've never heard anybody say that about assignments. What was the reason?
I guess because they're somehow the city misses out on some taxes somehow.
The city misses out on some taxes.
So somehow she said you can maybe get around that using an option and
the annual property taxes are what they are, so they get paid by whoever owns the house throughout the year.
Well, the sale of the house is going to be whatever the original contract says and not with the assignment fee. That's what they're talking about, I think.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what she's talking about. How's it going?
Maybe the income. Maybe
different
income
different title company.
Yeah, it's just like I definitely need to talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's not discouraging. Yeah. Just talk to somebody else.
Yeah, okay.
Piece of cake.
All right. Okay, so
sure.
And I have a couple of deals I was telling you about. I'm not real sure where to go with that. On the one that I found on Craigslist. I guess I'll just put an offer on it and find out.
Well, yeah, let's talk about it. So Tom found one on Craigslist. Advice was it's bank-owned. It's got an agent. It's probably out there. So, I mean, the numbers look strong. You know, it's probably they've got it online for, what, 25.5?
Yeah.
ARV is probably we think it's 115 to 130, probably somewhere in there.
Probably a little higher than that.
The fact that it's online means there are a lot of other eyeballs on it, and it's dealing with a bank. So does Rob buy from banks? Does he buy online? Absolutely. But private sellers are the foundation of what he's doing. And so Tom said, what do I do about this? So, Tom, if you want to write an offer on it, that's great. You're going to have limited inspection period. There's an agent involved. So it's going to be the 14-page or whatever it is state contract, which is fine. They're going to want to know that you're a buyer, not an assignee. So you heard my response there. So they came out and asked Tom, are you a buyer or an investor or wholesaler, I think they said.
No,
so
they said, are you a buyer or an agent? They asked me.
Buyer or an agent. Okay. So they want to know that Tom's a buyer. If he comes to the table and says, hey, I'm a wholesaler, I'm just going to sign this thing, they're going to have other offers on it and take theirs. So now Tom, in our opinion, needs to represent himself as a buyer, which is fine. The challenge, though, Tom, is if you are the buyer and that's how you represent yourself, then you just have to close on it. And then what will happen is you're going to try and remarket that property, not everybody, but it's online, it's on Craigslist, and it's in the MLS. So when you go and they say, hey, this is that same house, now it's $15,000 more, you know, you're gonna have an issue with a certain percentage of the buyers in the area because they've already seen it. So it just brings in some new challenges. It's not that it's not a good deal.
Well, it's,
but,
right. There's a thing called a die test they do there, too, because in Pennsylvania they do die tests because a lot of the sewer lines bleed into the sewers are all screwed up, so it bleeds out, and you got to get that certified, et cetera, et cetera. It can be very expensive. So.
Right.
Last thing I want to do is own that thing. I just want to pass.
Right. And that's how you'd have to go into it. So, you know, our sort of advice back to him was, if you want to write an offer, great, but it's a heck of a lot easier working with private sellers.
Yeah.
It's easier buying from non-professionals, y'all. That's what John would say. And it's not because we're trying to take advantage of everybody. It's just because it's more flexible. I mean, you can do 21-day inspection periods, 30-day inspection periods. They've got a problem. They don't know how to solve it. You know how to solve it, and they're appreciative of it, where a bank and an agent, they know the game. This is what they do. Less flexibility, compressed time frames, You're not going to have the same flexibility. You're going to have to come in as buyer. You know, there's going to be a time and place, Tom, when you want to come in as buyer. So knock yourself out. It's a great deal. Hey, I'll take it. But this is, you're going to have limited flexibility in this. So, our advice through email was get back on the phone with the vacants. Talk to the homeowners. It's just an easier game. That's all there is to it. It's the online listed stuff, if you want to add it in later, I'm all for it. But again, let's get the foundation in place, and then you can start to expand. So when you've got deals clicking off on a monthly basis, you know, you want to bring somebody on the team or carve out a little time to see what's online, or, you know, we're all for it. Let's just bring it in at a later date.
Well, so far, I'm more naive is when it comes with success with talking to people.
Well, how many calls have you made?
40, maybe 50.
Okay. All right.
Talk to two people.
Right. So you'll call those numbers again, and it's just a matter of here's when I'm on the phone, here's when I can be on the phone, and persistence always wins. So try different times a day. I think you've got another guy from one of the vacants who's got multiple properties that sounds like he may be motivated. That seems to be a worthwhile conversation.
I'm not sure. He's not real particularly motivated. He said, you know, I don't really care if I sell it or not. I can hold on to it. I mean, he bought it for $2,600, and he's just sitting on it. And, you know, he pays $150 a year in taxes, and he's in an area that, frankly, I think is going to start, you know, exploding because it's not too far from university. But he said he also had a whole bunch of, you know, a couple other ones that he'd be interested in. But he wants me to give him an offer on this first one to see if I'm yet another investor who lowballs the hell out of him. You know, so I don't know. Maybe I should just give him an offer for what I think I could make it work for.
Yep.
And see if he says go away. If I says go
away,
and
that's
then
kind
I'm
of a
not wasting my
you'll
time.
You'll find people that are more motivated too. So now that, you know, we've been talking through this on email, sometimes things are a little easier by phone here. So he's just like, he can sell if he wants to. Wait till you get somebody on the phone that has to sell.
Right.
Right. Let's find that person. Let that guy simmer. Let him simmer.
Well, that's
you want to text him in a month.
He was saying, you know, call me in a couple weeks. I got a whole bunch of stuff to do. And I said, okay, so I'll just let him sit on it and think about it.
Yeah, let it sit there. If you said call him in two, call him in 2.5 or 3.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
More phone calls.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the key.
Thanks.
Yep. Who else? Steps 3, 4, and 5.
Hey, this is Darren.
Hey, Darren.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Made some good progress in the last 2 days, 2-3 days.
Tell us about it.
Posted an ad on Craigslist to get some bird dogs, and I got about 18 or 19 emails in 24 hours.
Yep.
And carved out some time today to call back, email back, et cetera, et cetera. And it looks like I may have hired 3 or 4 people, and I've already got my first 2 test emails from one of the guys already. So,
nice.
The question I have is, and I think Mark actually already warned me about this. If they use an Android to send in the leads, he said I'd have more work to do versus if they use an iPhone.
iPhone, it comes in with the picture attached. Here's what we've been telling everybody. If you've got somebody hungry and they're willing to go to work and bring leads in, but they're on an Android, work with them. Is iPhone a little bit better with the Home Snap app? I mean, it's out of our hands. Yes. But at the end of the day, if somebody's bringing leads in the door and they're hustling,
I got a question.
Yeah.
When those photos, are those the photos they're taking, or is that just the street view? It seems like the street
iPhone
view is the only thing that's coming in.
Yeah, the iPhone will send in a picture that you take. So I can, you know, that's what Rob and I have, so that's what we tested it on. I know a lot of you are on Androids or you have bird dogs on Androids. So on the iPhone, to answer your question, Tom, yes, you can pull up in front of a house. I can snap a photo of it. In Home Snap, right? Then it'll use my location to pick the address, which I can do, And then I tell it to email it to the unique email in your FreedomSoft campaign, and that photo will show up in the pictures section on the left side of the page of that lead record. That's how it comes in on iPhone.
That particular photo, not just the
photo that
street
I took.
View.
You got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
So, yeah, this guy seems like he's pretty hungry. I just talked to him about 2 hours ago, and he's already shooting photos and sending stuff over. So,
yep.
But the problem is it's not sending the photo, and it's not so I guess until somebody sends me one with an iPhone, I'm not going to know the difference between one type and another.
Yeah, I've got HomeSnap if you want me to grab the unique email from your thing and send it in so you can see it.
Yeah, I guess I could go outside and do one too.
Yeah, if you have an iPhone, you can.
All right. I mean, but that's the update. Yep. I'm just baby stepping, making progress
that's
every
it.
Day. And,
that's what
I have a suggestion on HomeSnap Android.
Yeah, Robin, go ahead.
If they have an Android, if you have, you both have the app, if you friend them, then they're in your friends list, and then when they send them or they have them, because it's getting saved on their phone in their app, you can actually, once they're a friend, you can go in and look at all their snaps. So you'll be able to actually see the picture that they're taking at that address. And you can get all the information on the house that they did snap. It's
right.
A about longer way, but you can at least see the pictures and everything that they're taking and all the information for that house.
That's not in FreedomSoft. They got to go do it through HomeSnap.
Yeah, friend each other through HomeSnap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the HomeSnap ad on their Android. They're cruising around taking pictures. You just have to friend them.
Robin, how does it work if you have multiple bird dogs on Android? You're just friends with all of them?
Yeah, and then they'll come up. You just individually go into that person's friend list, and
okay.
You can see all their snaps.
And then so do you have to email them yourself to the FreedomSoft campaign, or they send it in? How does this all connect?
Well, I've been just kind of doing it myself. But then I happened to notice that my bird dog started sending them in. He figured out a way to make it work, and now I have a whole bunch of listings in there. But it sends the address like a message. It doesn't, like, put it in as a lead. So you still have to enter all the information in there yourself manually.
Right. It just comes into the notes box, right?
Right, right.
That's the same with iPhone. It just has a picture
of that. Yeah, so I've just been, I have my tablet, so I have it on my tablet so I can bring it up and it's a bigger picture so I can see it except instead of my phone. And I just go right down the list, and I'm a pretty good typer, so I'm in my FreedomSoft, and since I have to put it in there anyway, I just go right down and put it all in there myself. Or you can do have a VA do it too, I guess.
Good, yep.
Yeah, Mike, I had the same problem. Mike, I had the same problem with a girl who just could not figure it out for the life of her, but she had 100 leads, and so I had her send them directly to my HomeSnap. We friended each other, and I just used her unique email to send them to her campaign, and I paid her $2 instead of $3 for my time and effort.
Esther Meehan.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Does that help, Darren?
So what is the process then? Once the lead comes in, then maybe I would just have my VA, who's going to skip trace it anyways, type it all in and get it straight for me.
Yep.
Yeah,
you can. You can have that research VA, skip trace VA. They can just go in, you know, set the status. This is how we do it around here. We know we tie the workflow automation to the campaign. And the first one is the lead comes in as new, but then status number two is research needs to be skip traced. And so, you know, the status gets changed. The VA just searches for those in FreedomSoft. And then as soon as they do the research, they change it to research done, make phone call. And then it goes to the
gotcha.
Phone team. So, we've been having this conversation for months. It seems like that's just the way it works on Android. Bottom line, if you have somebody that's hungry, take the leads.
Okay.
It's So,
all right,
because not all bird dogs produce at the same level. So, just the way it is. Yeah, great input, everybody. Obviously, that's why we do these, you know, in a group environment. So, good stuff, Darren.
Thanks,
so you'll have, you'll have leads coming in. Get those folks driving.
Yeah, but hopefully.
Yep, for sure. Throw a little $25 bonus on top of who can bring me in 20 leads today. I'll pay you a little bonus if you do that tomorrow morning or whatever the case. You know, Brian, he just chimed in. He threw a little bonus on there and went from zero leads to boatloads in, what, 72 hours, Brian?
Yeah, it was crazy fast how fast this one girl went. And it was the second I paid her, and then I had two other people same weekend. They went from, you know, one here and there to a ton of them. Now, I got to do a buyer beware. I helped Tom out with some of mine, and Tom actually found out that the one girl, I found out she had 100 leads that were duplicates. So I think quite a few of them were actually intentional. So I did not pay her until I validated all those, which saved me a considerable amount, given the fact that she was kind of trying to double, triple dip on some of them.
Yeah, and that's I know it happens. That's the first comment I can remember where you thought it was intentional. So maybe some others have experienced that too. But
one was 17 unique ones. I have had that for the rest of them. They might have one or two, and that happens because, you know, they're sending so many over.
Right. Yep. But yeah, good to know.
You guys are working in the same market, did you say?
Yeah, I'm working Pittsburgh with Tom, but I'm also working Louisville, Kentucky, because I have two unique buyers that really need some help. So I was able to get that campaign up and going in actually a little under a week.
I was just going to ask. I've said this on so many office hours. This first market that you all launched, this is the longest it'll ever take you to launch a market for the rest of your investing career.
Yeah, we already have bird dogs on the ground, and we have actually gotten today 30 lead skip trace. So that will be my objective for thing tomorrow morning, is to start working those. And we do have two unique buyers that we think are really good, but I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket. So I'm already
working on
a buyer's list.
What makes them unique?
They've got a lot of money, a very defined criteria, and aren't really willing to work for their leads. And so they just want to be buy and hold landlords. They also are flipping in that market. And so it kind of gives us two categories. They're extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah,
they're extremely knowledgeable in the market. So I was really impressed on when they mapped out the areas for us and told us, this is a war zone, this is up and coming. If you can find anything at this price point in this neighborhood, we're going to jump all over it. So it really helps me find my margins.
So if I
can lock something up for 30 and he's going to buy for 50, I won't see you guys
fits,
in a week
they'll
or
take
two.
It. If it fits their
exactly.
criteria, they'll take it. Right. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Because that's just the fact of it. So, you know, some of you have said, hey, I want to open a couple simultaneously, and we've always backed off and said, do one first. We're going to go a little bit slower now so that you can go fast for the rest of your career as an investor. Because it'll come so easy. You know, you just heard Brian say they got a market up and running in inside a week, and that, you know, that's how Rob's been doing it for years. He just says, hey, we want to go here. Inside of a business week, the offers are going out, you know, and he's looking to get responses from sellers. So it's a very it's not a complicated process, but once you work through some of these kinks, I mean, a skip tracer, they can skip trace any lead you send them. It doesn't matter what state it's in. If you have somebody on the phone, just send them a list. It doesn't matter what state it's in. They can call. And so it's really about just getting it, like I said, go a little bit slower now so that you can go fast for the next 5, 10, 20 years. So,
Mike, this is Knife. I have a quick question. Every time you send out a driver, do you start a new campaign for that driver to keep track?
We do one campaign per bird dog.
One campaign. Absolutely. Okay.
Yep, because we want to know. We want to know how they're performing. So, for that matter, we do a new campaign for every different kind of marketing. So, if we're going to send even a postcard being sent to the same list 30 days later, if we change up the mailer, we set a new campaign because we want to track the stats. So, yeah, Rob's active FreedomSoft account has 3 pages of campaigns in it.
Okay.
Because he wants to know.
The way I was, yeah.
He wants to know the differences.
Because for organizational purposes, I didn't know, you know, what if they send me the same properties multiple times? I just created a new campaign every time this driver went out. But then I realized if I send them out 4 times, now I'm having a hard time keeping track of what, where is what. So one driver,
one
campaign.
Per bird dog. Yep. No matter if you're, if they just work with you for 4 days or for the next 4 years.
Okay. Perfect.
Yep. Yep. So Brian, that's strong, man. Market number 2, piece of cake, right? He might have jumped off.
Hey, Mike. This is
Darren. Hey, Darren.
So let's see, you've got one campaign for a driver, and today they send me 50 leads, and then 3 days from now they send me another 25 leads. How do you keep track of what you easily, what you've paid them for, and what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Good question, because, it's going to require a little bit of internal, some internal notification, right? How many leads come in.
Especially
so,
you have several drivers in several states all going crazy.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, there's obviously an accounting piece to this. The thing about the multiple, you know, we keep them, I'm just telling you how we do it. We keep them in one campaign. You know, a quick little note that they've been paid for X number of leads. You know, on this date, which is pretty easy to track, you know, however you want to keep track of that. And Evernote, something like that is pretty effective because it's always on you and you can access it from your phone, that kind of thing. We use Evernote all the time around here. But, yeah, what's nice about it is if you paid them for 50 and then you log in on, you know, maybe you pay on Fridays or whatever, and you log in to their campaign and there are 75 and you've got a little note that 50 are paid for, you know, pretty easy to run the math and do the difference. Just ongoing.
Got it.
But that way you can compare bird dog to bird dog. So yeah, just quick Evernote, wherever you want to track it, spreadsheet. We like Evernote because it's in the cloud. So
sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. Who else?
Could
Step
you do
3,
a,
4, and 5.
Could you do a FreedomSoft lab on Evernote using Evernote?
Yeah, it'd be over in about 4 minutes. It's pretty easy. If you're not familiar with it, it's free, Evernote.com, up to X amount of storage, and I don't even know what that number it was.
Well,
but,
I'm familiar with Evernote, but how do you actually, like, keep track of payments, stuff like that? How would you do that?
Oh, yeah, just set up a bird dog note and put Joe Bird Dog, you know, today's date, paid for 50 leads, PayPal and whatever, if you want to track an invoice number or something like that. And then that way, next time they say, hey, I'm ready to get paid for the new ones I brought in. And if you log in, because there's a counter in every campaign, and if you paid them for 50 today and then it's next Friday, like I said, and there are 75, well, 50 of those are paid for, 25 is the difference. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
And then you just put another note, 25 leads paid for today's date. Bam. And then it's done.
Okay.
So yeah, something simple like that. Yep. Yep. Who else?
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, a couple things on the paying the bird dogs. What I did is I took a bird dog sheet and I just added a couple columns on there and just said paid on this date. And, you know, when I bring in how many they did, so then I paid them on that one and then there's another column. So then I just added columns to that. And that
you just did
know.
A spreadsheet?
Well, no, the one you guys gave us. I just added that sheet and just added some columns in there so I can track.
Gotcha. The market ranking spreadsheet?
No, the bird dog sheet. Who's driving what?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I
yeah, that works too.
Yeah,
whatever works for you, however you want to track it. Right. I mean, some of you are pen and sticky note, and others of you want to be tech. So.
And then another thing I did is, and Robin gave me this. When they send me a picture from HomeSnap, I also have them send it to my email.
Yep.
So then I can take all those emails that they send me and I can put them in another folder, and then you can look right down the address line and you can see if there's any duplicates. very simply.
Yep.
You'll see it right there. So that just kind of takes care of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to what I got going.
Yeah.
The one house in Cleveland, I've had two buyers that said it's a scrape. Well, that doesn't work for really anybody. And the other one, they think it's going to take a little bit more than what the sellers had estimated.
Okay.
But I haven't been able to get hold of the sellers. I don't know if they went somewhere for Easter weekend or what. So I'm kind of
these
there.
These are the two that we talked about at Freedom Club and then last week, right? Okay.
Right.
So one of them's out of the question because it's just completely destroyed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. So and I'm just trying to get back hold of the sellers. Right. I'm trying to get them to give me a call back and ask me some more questions on that. And then as far as making phone calls, you know, it's like I've made like 20 phone calls. I've talked to two people. One guy said he'd think about it. The other guy was just a no. And then I've left messages. But then somebody on here have a script that they gave somebody to call for them just to say, hey, I'd like you to, you know, if you want to talk about it, because I'd like to get somebody to make these phone calls for me.
Yeah, have them go through Rob's script. And then really their goal in that first phone call is to find if there's motivation. If so, what is it and how high is it? What's the motivation level?
Okay.
If they find out. So it's motivation first, property second.
Right.
You know what? Here's a vacant house. Would you consider selling it? Yeah. Is it causing any problems for you? How long has it been vacant? Right. They're just kind of digging to try and find the pain. Would you consider selling it? Yes. Great. Can you tell me a little bit about it? When's the last time the roof was updated? What about the major systems in the house, HVAC, plumbing? You know, are there any major cracks, right? How long has it been vacant for? How much work do you think it needs? And then they go through that script. And it's pretty easy for them to say, you know, that's what I needed to know for now. I'm going to have Mark call you back. You know, are you available later on today or what's a good time tomorrow? And this is what you heard Josh and Quinn are doing. That person
right.
that's on the phone is just has
right.
access to Josh's calendar, putting in the follow-up, scheduling the time, getting all the details. Here's the motivation. Here's the level of motivation. Here's some information about the property. Josh can do a quick little online, you know, take a peek at it and call up, and he can go right to offer through that conversation.
Okay.
So
they don't need to go through the whole thing, but just kind of reduce it?
Yeah, I mean – Have them make
the
call
motivation.
Just like you would. Yeah. Motivation
okay.
first.
Right.
If not
okay.
motivated, there's no. It's irrelevant for you to know about the property.
Right.
Build into that script. If somebody's not motivated, have your person on the phone, or if you're the one making the calls, say, hey, you know, your motivation could change over time. What's the best email to reach yet? And I'll just keep in touch with you. You know, every 30 to 60 days. And if something changes and you want to sell, that way you'll have my information. So what's your email
right.
address?
Okay.
And then you can just throw them into a long-term drip follow-up campaign in FreedomSoft.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Because that's my biggest issue right now is finding the time because of the time difference, finding the time to make the calls. So
yep.
I'm going, well, I'm going to have to get somebody on my team to make the calls.
As soon as you feel like you can train on the calls and you feel
yeah.
like you're ready for that step, that's
okay.
you're ready for it. So whenever
okay.
that is, if that's now, jump. If you feel like you need to make 20 more, get through 20 more so that you can, you know, so that you can train somebody how to be as effective as you are.
Right. No, I probably need to make 20 more.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you'll
yeah.
that's what you'll know. If that's what your gut says, then
yeah.
stay on the phone for a little bit.
Okay.
But it's really there's no pressure on that phone call.
No.
Just have them because that person on the phone they're not gonna make an offer for you. They may eventually, but not right up front. They're just gonna bring
right.
you the motivated sellers and a couple details about the property, and then you can take over.
Okay.
Yep. Good stuff. When are you knocking out some more calls?
I'm going to try by Wednesday, but I don't know.
You won't try by Wednesday, Mark. You will by Wednesday.
Okay. I will by Wednesday. You know, that's like, you know, so anyway, all right. I will by Wednesday.
Yeah, and if that other seller isn't motivated or don't get back to you, don't spend a bunch of time chasing.
No, I won't.
We're looking for motivation. That's
right.
You get on the phone to sniff out motivation, period.
Well, the seller was motivated because they wanted it closed by the 25th of this month. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, sir. All right. More calls. And then eventually you'll have somebody else on there for you. So who else? Steps 3, 4, 5.
Mike, this is Esther.
Hi. Hi, Esther.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for your help this morning.
Yep.
And I did add another campaign. I was able to do that. However,
uh-huh.
I attempted to forward their emails into FreedomSoft, and I don't know what's going on. They haven't come through.
Yep,
so,
it just must have went to the wrong address because I know it works. Hard to say without seeing all the steps that you did.
Right. I'll try some more again here in a little bit. And,
okay.
If it's at all possible, could you give me a call in the morning so that we can, you can walk me through this?
For $25, I will.
Come on.
I think that'll work. Shoot me an email in the morning. Tomorrow's a little bit hectic, but I'll see if I can carve it out and help you out.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, and
no worries.
Yeah, because I've got a bird dog that has 30 leads for me and another one that has 40, and I put her on hold because I didn't know how to transfer it. I said, so it doesn't take up any more time. And so she's just ready to go. So
yeah, we'll get that figured out for you. Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You got it. You're welcome. Who else? Let's just open it up. Any step, any questions? Any step.
Hey, Mike. This is Mike Page.
Hey, it's who?
Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
I
didn't catch your
name. Oh, not much. I was.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was just wondering. So, are we supposed to wait until we have 250? Start calling them, or should we just annual process? We could just start going down the list now.
Yeah. Call ASAP. So. Typically what happens, let's say you get a rush of leads from bird dogs and you've got, you go from whatever, 0 to 100 in 48 hours. Get those off your skip tracer, but give them specific instructions. When you have a chunk of 20 skip traced with data, if they're in your FreedomSoft account, have them let you know. Or if they're working on a spreadsheet, have them send it over. Get those first 20 in your hands. So good question.
Okay.
But the goal is on the phone as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah, I got about 110 leads. So far, and my bird dog, they got most of them. She just got sick this week, so she said she's going to start again tomorrow. I'll try to get like 100 more.
Nice. So how many do you have skip traced at this point? Any?
Adam, do you know how many do you have skip traced? Adam's actually been doing that part of it.
Yep.
If he's on the call still, he might have jumped off.
I couldn't hear you, Adam. How many?
About 10.
10?
70?
70. Yeah.
Yep.
All systems go.
Yeah, he just signed up for one of those services, and he's just been going down the list and then putting the information inside the lead. So
nice.
I guess now that means I need to start doing something.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys have some calls to make, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a strong number. So nice job. Yep. You got it. Yeah, that's pretty easy. But, what to tell you guys to do. Start dialing. If you're wondering about that script, if you're wondering about the script, go into step 4. Rob's script is, it's tried and true. Basically, it sets up, it very easily sets up a conversation where you, one human being, is going to have a conversation with another. So you get everything on the table right up front. Here's my name. I'm an investor. Here's how I buy homes. Here's why I do it. This is how I take care of my family. That all gets set up, and it you can hear from anybody on here. It's very simple to do, and it just sets the tone, like I said, for you to just have a normal conversation about their property. So it's simple.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'll probably do the same thing you were talking about, or I can't remember who was saying they put the script right inside the form.
Yep. You can use custom fields. That's right in step 4. Build it in as custom fields. And you can leave it there forever or just until you're dialed on the script, either way. But then then as you bring somebody in to jump on the phone, that's handy because they pull up the lead, they get on the phone, and all the questions that you want answered are just right in front of them in FreedomSoft, and they fill it out as they're on the phone, click save, set an appointment for you. You can call back, and all the information's right there. So it works good.
Great.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, nice job, guys. Nice job. Who else? Quiet bunch, huh? Either that or everybody's just crystal clear, which would be a good thing as well. Okay. Hey, everyone, great. You know, as always, great stuff happening. I mean, you hear what happens when you're persistent. I know there's a little bit of frustration out there. That's business. Stay the course, everybody. You know, I think Brian hung up, but he can tell you how frustrated he was. Seasoned investor and couldn't get bird dogs. Couldn't get them, took weeks. And then all of a sudden, within, 48, 72 hours, he had a couple hundred, and he hasn't been able to slow down since. So, same message, persistence. This is business. Things happen. We talk about it on all the orientation calls. Stay the course. Things are going to happen. It's just the way life works. When you set out a course and say, I'm going that direction, something's going to try and get in your way, and it's the way it works. And, we just blow through it. We go through it, over it, or around it. You heard what's on the other side with, talking to private sellers. So great job, everybody. We've got a lot of stuff happening, which is awesome. So any questions, as always, Coaching Center. Have a great afternoon, great couple days. And, we'll chat again on Thursday. I've got a couple answers that I'll bend Rob's ear and get back to you. And I'll probably just do – I'll just do a message out to everybody. I'm trying to think. Josh asked about co-wholesaler agreements. Judah asked about RMLOs, which isn't super relevant with where everybody's at. So let me think about the best way to do that. But at least on the co-wholesale agreement – since that's a conversation that some of you are having now, if you haven't yet, some of you will when you have deals of your own and then you start to meet other investors and wholesalers in the area. So I'll get some replies out to everybody on that. That's a wrap.
Hey, Mike, this is Andrew. Andrew, real quick. I apologize, man. I'm walking through a parking garage now. Sorry about that. Do you guys ever deal with any sandwich lease options or anything along those lines? I've got some sellers that were asking about maybe moving in that direction to purchase their
Rob has gone the owner finance route lately through getting people qualified. He's done boatloads of lease options. But if I'm not mistaken – and I will I'll double check with him. If I'm not mistaken, he's going the owner finance route this way. Some regulations, some Dodd-Frank, getting people qualified before you set them up with a payment. If I remember correct, and I'm pretty sure I am, he just thinks that's the better way to go in today's landscape.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to be able to steer that conversation some. It just seems like it's fraught with a bunch of holes in it, and I just want to make sure I'm stepping in.
I'm gonna bend his ear, and I'm gonna tell him what I just told you. And
okay.
If it's something other, I'll just shoot you an email real quick with
cool,
an update
thanks,
to that. But yep, no worries. All right, everybody. Good talking to y'all.
Sure.
Always fun to check in. Stay the course, make it happen. Got a lot of things popping out there, which is perfect. So. Like I said, have a great afternoon, great couple days. Any questions into the coaching center, and we'll chat with everybody on Thursday, okay?
Thanks, Sam.
Have a good evening. Yep, take care.
Bye, Mike.
Take care. See you.
All right, we'll see you, Mike. Take care.